body must be harmonized with the principles, the dress and activities and so on of the material body must be harmonized with the principles of devotional service. So that means taking on this, for the male, we dress like we dress, with dhoti, kurta, shaved head. And the lady should wear sari. Huh? And if they're married, they should have the sindur on the part of the hair and the dot to show that they're married. Prabhupada established all this in ISKCON. But this is not a means of experiencing, madhura bhav with Krishna. That's not the point of it. The point of it is simply civilized human life. That women should wear saris because this covers the body. They should keep their head covered also to reduce the chance of aula of this affliction of lust appearing in society. So that's the whole point. But they take these saki bekis and owls, and actually all of them, we'll see. They take this body as being the place of pastimes. They take these emotions connected with the body as being the means to realize Radha Krishna Prema Bhav. You just take these emotions that are dwelling in the senses and in the mind, and you just agitate them by these processes, dressing up like a gopi. I've seen them in Vrindavan. I mean, they dress up like women, they paint their feet red, they walk around with pots on their heads, they sing songs in high voices, and they're acting just like women. So all of this, I mean, we're familiar with these kind of people in the West, and we know that they're very lusty. So their whole lifestyle is simply meant to increase that lust. And their philosophy is that lust, when it reaches some certain point, that's love of Krishna, whatever. And just as we mentioned, the word aula is found in the Shastras, but has been taken out of context by these aulas. So similarly, these Saki Bekis, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's the very brief passage which describes Sri Gadadhar Pandit. Now Gadadhar Pandit, he is the incarnation of the effulgence. You've read that in TLC. The effulgence or beauty of Srimati Radharani. He's Shakti Tattva. So that is his internal mood. So one time he put a pot of Ganga water on his head. Water of the holy Ganges. And he was walking through Navadvip and he was calling out, does anyone want to buy this yogurt? He was just in the mood of a cowherd girl of Vrindavan. So this Saki Beki, they take that as an insult. Oh, he was doing it, see? So then they think they can imitate. Next, Chudadhari. Chuda means peacock feather. So the Chudadharis, they dress up like Krishna. And then they have their female sakis, or they may also be male, depending on their preference, or both. So then they go out in the forest and they play the flute, and then the sakis come and join them, and they have Rasleela.
What's the name of this Chuda?
Chudadhari. Chuda means the peacock feather. So they dress up like Krishna, they wear the peacock feather. So there's no real need to talk about them too much because they're just the male version of the Saki Beki.
They dress like Krishna, they play a flute and then other members of...
Yeah, and then the Sakis come out. They may be male or female. And join them. And Gauranga Nagari. Now, again, to mention the classification, Kamanira Kama. I've listed this Aul Saki Beki Chudadhari Gauranga Nagari under this one line because that seems to be the most outstanding feature, that they're really into lusty activities. although there's some philosophy there, but the philosophy takes it back. These people are into experiencing some bhav, you see. So they just want to get to the point of gross sense gratification and call that spiritual life. So there's some philosophy to justify. The philosophy doesn't really play a major point, major part. Whereas on the other side, under Mayavada, the philosophy is more prominent. Although still, as we'll see, especially with the bowels, the lusty activities are going on. So anyway, Gauranga Nagari. So Nagari, we know what Gauranga means, so, but Nagari means female villager. Nagar, just like when you have Nagar Kirtan, it means you take the Sankirtan out into the village, perform public kirtan. So Nagari means a girl or woman who lives in village. So the damsels of Vrindavan village, they are called Nagari. So Gauranga Nagari means that the members of this sect, they view Lord Chaitanya as Krishna. Krishna in the mood of Lampat. Lampat, that appears in the Shikshashtakam prayers in the last shloka. This means debauchee. So in that prayer, Lord Chaitanya says, you may embrace me or you may trample me under your feet. You are free to do whatever you like because you're a lumpat. You're a debauchee. You always deal this way with your devotees. But in any case, you are my Lord and Master. So however you treat me, I will remain fixed as your servant. So these Gauranga Nagaris, they try to view Lord Chaitanya as lumpat, as the enjoyer. And then they have speculated a whole totally offensive mythological myth. Mythological myth? I mean, totally invented myth about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his relationships with Srimati Vishnupriya and her associates. Because, for instance, the wife of Srivas Thakur, Malini, and other ladies of Navadvip, they were engaged in the service of Srimati Vishnupriya. Vishnupriya Devi is, of course, Bhu Shakti. So she is the consort of the Lord in his Vishnu form, Vaikuntha mood. So, but you see, you can see this is all wrong. But they're taking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First, they're saying he's Krishna. But actually, he didn't assume that mood of Krishna, the enjoyer. He was in the mood, as we've already said, Viparlamba, not sambhog, not enjoyment, it was separation. And the separation is Radharani's mood of separation. So that's the first mistake. They say Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Lord Krishna. Then the second mistake they make is they say Vishnupriya is Radharani. But that's not true, she's Bhu Shakti. So the relationship between Lord Chaitanya and Vishnupriya, that's described in, especially in Chaitanya Bhagavat. It was a very formal, sedate kind of relationship. Lord Chaitanya was very grave with her. She didn't have very much association with him at all. And when she did, it was very formal. It was, Lord Chaitanya was simply, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, there was not a trace of this kind of enjoying mood in Mahaprabhu's behavior. He says, what to speak of other women? You see, the other women of Navadvip. Even with his own wife, he was very, very grave and self-controlled. And he never even looked or smiled at other women. So they have established a totally fallacious and totally extremely offensive idea of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And they have, I mean, it's a whole, you know, it's a whole mythology they've made it. They've introduced some, that Lord Chaitanya was having some special affair with one mistress, one of Vishnupriya's maidservants named Kanchana. You know, they have songs and so on describing the Lord's affairs with his Kanchana, who This name doesn't appear in any authorized scripture. So it's simply totally bogus. And why are they doing this? Again, because they're totally absorbed in the bodily concept of life. They're thinking, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it says that he was relishing this prema, this love between Radha and Krishna, so he must have done it with Vishnu Priya. This is how they think. And Vishnu Priya is his consort, so it must have been like that. And Krishna, he consorts with all of Radharani's girlfriends too, so Vishnu Priya's maidservants must have also been involved. They cannot understand that it's all internal. Lord Chaitanya's relishing of Krishna Prema was all internal. Now, one point. Again, with Sri Gadadhar Pandit. Sometimes, for instance, as described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there was a dance performance at Chandrasekhar Acharya's house. So, it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Gadadhar Pandit. They were the main performers of dance. So they were dancing together and they were both taking role of Shakti.
Mahaprabhu became Lakshmi, David?
Yes, Mahaprabhu became, he manifested as Lakshmi. And Gadadhar was Radharani. So sometimes Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar, they would perform these kind of special paths. At other times Lord Chaitanya would be in the mood of Krishna and Gadadhar in the mood of Radharani. And they would have perform particular pastimes, enacting certain activities of Radha and Krishna, like exchanging gifts and things like that. And the devotees would be there to assist. So in those particular instances, Mahaprabhu, sometimes in association of Gadadhar, would manifest mood, the Krishna mood. But it was not... is not a prominent thing. So there is a bona fide way that very senior advanced Vaishnavas can do bhajan, not archan, not deity worship, but bhajan to Lord Chaitanya in that mood. And that's when they worship Gaur Gadadhar deities. Just like Gaur Nithai deities. If you see a Gaur Gadadhar deity, you'll probably think it's Gaur Nithai. Just you see two transcendental personalities, Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar, usually with their hands upraised like this. So, but that, huh? Yes, Gaur Gadadhar is there. Bhaktivinod Thakur worshipped Gaur Gadadhar at Swarup Kanch. So, but that. This type of worship, it is not archan worship. It's not, you know, in other words, it's not supposed to be that you have Gaur Gadadhar temple as the main deity. This is bhajan worship. That means it's a more internal kind of worship, and the devotees meditate on the form of Gaur Gadadhar. But this is, of course, very advanced stage.
They're relating as Lord Chaitanya as Krishna himself?
Well, they're relating to the pastimes of Gaur Gadadhar. And in their relationship, then Mahaprabhu, in Gadadhar's relationship, because he's the Shakti Tattva, then Mahaprabhu would assume the mood of Krishna. So that, you know, that's the only instance of devotees meditating on Lord Chaitanya in that way. And it's esoteric thing. You see, it's esoteric, it's not very widespread, and it's meant for very advanced devotees. But this Gauranga Nagari is completely cheap, completely philosophically off, completely gross. And again, it just leads to some conclusion of sense gratification. So they're having kirtan, these Gauranga Nagaris are having kirtan, but the whole point of the kirtan is again to attract women, to invoke lust in them, and to have illicit sex.
Hmm?
Where?
Just before the Guru Yoga Kriya. It's called Gogadatta.
I can't comment on that. I know another Gadadhar ashram, but it's not near the Yoga Peak.
Yes,
and I know that the person who runs that is a Sahajya. He's the one I told you about too. Formerly a member of ISKCON. A very interesting person. Keeps long hair and he wears Radha Kuntilak. And if you ask him why you're dressing like that, he said, because I am an incarnation of a Brahmin who was with Mahaprabhu in his pastimes, who looked just like this. He kept his hair long. So therefore I'm keeping... Very interesting person. So he worships Gorgadadhar, but he's not qualified. This is a thing that should be mentioned. As we describe these groups, they've all come into being because of unqualified persons going right to the most deep, transcendental humors, and the descriptions in the shastras of the most deep transcendental truths. And without qualification, they have tried to, in a totally false way, experience these things. And all they've done is create a big offense and misled thousands and thousands of people. And this is still going on today. So this is the danger. This is the danger of jumping too far, too fast. Prabhupada always warned us against this. Now the bowels. Bowel. First we should get to the word bowel is a perversion of the word batul. This comes from Sanskrit. So bowel, batul, it actually means crazy. Actually means mad. And this word bowel is also found in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Madhya Lila and Antya Lila. Several citations are given. And again, sometimes it is said that Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasy, he became bowel. He became mad. But this means divyonmada, divine madness of love of Godhead. And in his divine madness, as described, he sometimes did very unusual things, unusual symptoms of ecstasy. So these bowels, they think that the perfection of life is to literally become crazy, to derange the mind so much and become... There's a philosophy behind this, because now we're on the jnana side. There is a philosophy. It is derived from tantrism, tantrika. So the tantrics originally, this is a very, very low class religion, which arises from a shastra called Agama. Aga means refers to a secret tradition of scriptures that teach black magic and very, very nasty rituals in which ghosts are worshipped. Also, horrible forms of Lord Shiva, Parvati, they're the principal deities. Lord Shiva and Durga Devi, usually in their horrible features, like Bhairava or Kala Bhairava, Lord Shiva, very, very ferocious, holding a big chopper, fierce face, and Goddess Kali. And then expanding from them are so many ghosts and demons and hobgoblins, all kinds of spooky entities. So the most advanced tantrics will be worshipping, Shiva and Durga. But more often they're just worshipping the ghosts. So then in this whole process of religion, there are many, many nasty kinds of practices. Really horrible things. Including cannibalism. Including digging up dead bodies or taking dead bodies from crematoriums before they're burnt and using parts of the bodies for different potions. You see, what is really valuable to one of these tantrics is to be able to get the embryo from the womb of a just dead woman. If a woman dies, then if these tantrics can do it, they'll come and take the embryo out and they'll turn it into different kinds of potions. It's black magic. So now one of the ideas of this tantric philosophy is to become totally immune to mundane duality, so that good, evil, or pleasant, unpleasant, or pleasure, pain, or very nice, or very disgusting, they have no meaning anymore. The person becomes totally impervious. So to reach, they actually think this is their idea of liberation. You see, if one can, for instance, eat stool, pass stool and pick it up and eat it, without the mind becoming in any way disturbed, then they think this is liberation. So they purposefully practice very, very nasty kinds of things to come to this state. Now the Baals have appropriated from Tantra these practices because they think this is, you see, they're using the term madness in a kind of jesting sense also. Of course, they think that they're fully realized, but they know that everybody else thinks that they're crazy. So they kind of wear that label proudly. Yes, that's again the sahaja humility. Yes, yes, we're crazy. That's all. You can think like that. So many of the very nasty practices of tantricism are done by the Baals, and especially sexual things. They have so-called sannyasis and sannyasinis, and they practice a kind of sex life, ritualistic sex between the two. This is their sadhana. But the whole purpose of this sadhana, they have some philosophy.